There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 887, May 24th. 2021, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say, what a nice ballet in Monaco. Smooth Swan Lake sailing for Max, Nutcracker for Bottas, and now back to Mr. Rogers, the Baryshnikov of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Mercedes caught listening to Asleep at the Wheel. Max Mosley dead at 81. Vettel slowly finding his machismo-ness. And I need to remind our listeners, we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. I want to thank Thomas Hubbard. Keep up the good work. Good job. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. Thank you. Some sad news. Max Mosley just came in late today. Very sad to hear that. Gentleman played a major part in role in the history of motor racing, and then a few days before we heard the news that IndyCar driver from Brazil, Andre Ribeiro, passed away. He was in his 50s, so some back-to-back sad news. How is Mr. Rogers doing on the left coast?
The left coast is so pumped up that we had to expand the sunroom and add another hot dog stand in the cafeteria of the Palatial Studios, because there was just so much giggling and hunger and laughter watching this Monaco Grand Prix and listening to LCH on the radio with his team. There was a lot of laughter for me and Bottas crying in the wind. He was probably thinking about Bob Dylan. But nevertheless, with Ferrari dropping the big pelota or ball, it was an easy win for Mad Max.
Yes, sir. The 2021 Monaco Grand Prix on the interweb has been classified as dull and boring, but no Mercedes driver on the podium has created great excitement for the championship. From that point of view, it was very exciting, I have to say. But you know, Mr. Rogers, no matter how you spin it, it always comes back to the one and only Nando. And this time it was his famous comment about Julian Palmer, karma. And by that I'm referring to what happened in Quali. And I'm sure Charles Leclerc did not hit the barrier on purpose in Quali, but it did prevent Max and Sainz Jr. from snatching pole from him. But karma was served when his car could not start or even make it to the grid. The sad part of this, it deprived us of a great opening lap between him and Max, and I had a very strong feeling that there was going to be some argy-bargy in the first corner. But that was all the good doctor prescribed for Max to grab his first win in Monte Carlo. And the whole world has been so excited to see Kelly Piquet, mother of Daniel Kvyat's son, you know, giving a big hug to Max. Did that excite you, Mr. Rogers?
It did excite me, and I get excited pretty easily these days. Yes, that was a thrill for moi. And I have to admit, the biggest problem with the accident 18 seconds to go in qualifying was that Ferrari has what you call, and it's one of your favorite songs, Nas, bad reputation.
Oh, yes. Well, Niki Lauda also recorded a song for that. It's called il spaghetti culture.
Bravo, bravo. But yes, everybody started thinking about Schumacher, Rascas, is this legal? What are they doing all over again? But in the end, it was an innocent accident.
Yes, and Lewis and Mercedes had their Singapore moment in the streets of Monte Carlo, dazed and confused with the driver being FPO, and who can blame him? After all, Sir Hamilton finished behind little people like Gasly and a guy who only won 4 championships, Sebastian Vettel. And this is definitely not in the 8 championship script. But one has to feel for Localette, Schall and Scuderia. From pole, they at least had a chance for a first red victory here in Monte Carlo since Seb won in 2017. But I have to say it was good to see Schall hang around with the team and be a good team player and not run onto a boat to grab a vodka or lock himself in Heartbreak Hotel after losing a possible win, as was done in 1988. And explained in detail in Joe Ramirez's book. But Mr. Rogers, you know, before we talk about Colley and the race start and all that, last week we were talking about who will hit the barrier first, Mazepin or Tsunoda. And surprisingly, it was somebody else. Who can it be now, Mr. Rogers?
Well, the problem was the chef that fixed Fernando's paella may have put some kind of powder in there and messed it all up.
Oh, dear. I think he was seen with Daniel Ricciardo on Kimi Raikkonen's board after the race. Now, I want to ask you a question. When Mr. Leclerc led a Ferrari 1-2 in free practice 2, did you think that this is real and this will carry on into start of the race, like Ferrari on pole? Seriously?
You know, I almost did, and Sainz coming in second really sort of confirmed that. Really, Ferrari lost a huge opportunity here to really make history, and it's too bad they blew it, but it is what it is, and the planets were not lined up properly. That's why what happened happened.
Yeah, and speaking of Sainz, I think he has done a pretty good job in catching up to or being comfortable at Ferrari. It's not like he's struggling against Charles Leclerc, so that was pretty impressive. But I really did not think that they will be able to get a pole, but it was very good for the sport, that's for sure. And you know, Mr. Yuki Tsunoda, he hit the wall barrier too, so he gets a visit from his family doctor, and his family doctor, the one and only wonderful Dr. Marco, was quoted in a magazine saying, "We told him 1,000 times, it's all about one thing in Monaco, making meters, making meters, making meters. He should really learn to show some discipline." Wow, that's pretty strong word from a guy who normally does the talking by chop-chop than speaking words from his mouth. You feel comfortable that Yuki will survive another season at AlphaTauri?
No, I don't see him surviving another season, but he is a lot of laughs.
Yeah, it's. Let's see how it works out there. And then, of course, in Q1, we had no Mick Schumacher after his crash in free practice 3. And 3 of the other 4 drivers out of Q1 were the usual suspects. Nikita, Latifi, Yuki, and one big surprise. El Machismo, the Alpino. But his teammate Esteban Ocon was in the top 10 in Q1. And the other number 2, Bottas, was the fastest. What's going on here, Mr. Rogers? Let's hear the official excusez-moi for Nando.
He is old, he is tired, and he was getting some texts from Rubinho and Pedro de la Rosa, and he wasn't focused. You know, he's not focused until next year when he gets the good car.
I think you should send him a copy of your CD featuring your big hit, "All the Memories."
Thank you.
Yes, and include a video of the 2005 San Marino Grand Prix, so your hombre feels good. Okay, now, you know, this is getting concerning now. Q2, Daniel Ricciardo, the honey badger, was out of milk and honey and did not advance to Q3, nor did Raikkonen and Russell. Probably more confused and frustrating, Ricciardo said. He described the whole weekend as pretty much second of the pace of my teammate, There is no way I should be that slow around here. A bit of a mystery for now. I'm not saying that I should be 1 second faster, but I don't remember the last time I was that much off the pace. Now, I don't know what's going on with Daniel Ricciardo. Obviously, he has not hit the delete button on his talent, but either the car is just not to his liking, or maybe the pace of Lando Norris has kind of rattled his cage. What say you?
Well, Daniel did an interview. He told the young lady that it's a very strange thing, that the car is odd. It's weird, and he can't really put it all together, but it's not fitting his style. He's trying to change his style, and that's not working because, really, if you have to change your style that far into your career, there's going to be some problems. And this McLaren does not suit the smiling assassin. I hate to say it, but he will be struggling for the rest of the season.
Well, the good news is that his bank account in Bahrain is getting fatter and fatter with every paycheck. So from that point of view, he's in good shape, just like you have mentioned about Valtteri Bottas. Now, speaking of diversity, the good thing was there were drivers from seven teams who made it to Q3, including Father Guido Sarducci of Motorsports, Antonio Giovinazzi, who is also known in the Motorsports chatter as the Italian Jesus, and Mr. Leclerc, of course, got the pole and then got the shaft, no pun intended. LCH, man with seven championships, was seventh. Very surprising, considering his wingman, also known as His Highness's Lapland puppy, was third. Now the question is, Mercedes, with all their resources and so-called teamwork and all the good things they say, you know, Toto and James Allison and Lewis and Valtteri, if both cars were having issues like they did in Singapore, I can understand. But here, number two was very competitive and looking pretty good, both in quali and in race trim, apart from being in the pit lane, but that's another story. So you have any expert opinion on LCH's misery in Monte Carlo?
I have none, but I know one thing. Toto Wolff is pissed, and Toto Wolff will be filing an official protest at the FIA about anybody's wing flexing anytime, any day, any night.
Well, my understanding is all wings flex. They have to some extent. And this is just like the Michelin expanding tire. The tire was on Nando's car and Renault for over a season, but since they were not winning, nobody complained. And as soon as they won a race, oh, this is against the spirit of the law or the rule or whatever. So I think that's what's happening here. Toto and Lewis and Mercedes, they've been running scot-free for season after season. Now the heat is on. And I got to tell you, man, if it was not Max in that car and some other very good driver, it would be smooth sailing for Lewis and Bottas. Max is really... How much was it that Nando brought to McLaren's 6-10th?
Correct.
This guy has brought probably a lot more than that. So that's the Max factor is the difference here. But you know, as far as this thing that happened, and again, I would say I don't think it was done intentionally, but you know, in IndyCar, they have this rule that if you cause a red flag in final qualifying, you lose your best time or top two times. And I think even Toto has said that Formula One should do that. But Formula One being Formula One, they're not going to adapt anything that is from IndyCar racing and vice versa, which is kind of pathetic. You know, if something is good and makes sense, do it. Who cares whose idea it was? So, but I don't like this. Remember something like this happened with Nico Rosberg also running, taking the escape route at Monaco some years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't like this kind of antics, but that's just my opinion. So what did we have? So Leclerc and Max on front row, Bottas sharing row two with the second Ferrari of Carlos Sainz Jr. Norris qualified fifth, which was McLaren's best qualifying result in Monaco since LCH was fourth on the grid in 2012. Gasly, very impressive, sixth ahead of Sir Lewis Hamilton. And Sir Lewis explained Mercedes made changes after FP3, but they only ended up making things worse in qualifying. And he said, I think we really lost our way on Thursday. We completely missed the ball. They may have missed the ball in Monte Carlo, but I think for the long haul, Lewis still has the Louisville slugger. He may not be able to put it out of the ballpark, but I still think they have the edge in the long haul over Red Bull and Max and Christian Horner and that whippersnapper called Dr. Marco. What say you?
I completely agree. Lewis Hamilton still has a Mercedes. He still has Toto. He's still going to win an eighth championship. This is just fun for Red Bull. Christian Horner feels good inside. You know, everybody's giggling. It's going to end real quickly.
Well, it was good to see a decent amount of fans in the stand. I mean, fans make the sport. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
And I will be one of the fans at the Indy 500 next weekend, if all goes well. Are you going to watch the Indy 500 on TV, sir?
Yes, sir.
That's good. And you know, as far as the race is concerned, Mr. Leclerc checking into Heartbreak Hotel before the race even began, it was no-brainer. The race was going to be a Max moment. And after he kept number two in number two position after the first corner of the opening lap, as far as I'm concerned, dishes were done for the competition. I mean, you know how hard it is to pass in Monte Carlo and to pass and for Bottas to pass Max Verstappen of all the places in Monte Carlo. I don't think that will ever happen in our lifetime.
Never.
Never ever. You agree with me. I have to say, Bottas, you know, it was not like he was dusted by Max. He stayed pretty close to him. And in a street race, there is always the possibility of a driver making a small mistake and paying with a big price by losing the front wing or some other damage. And that was the only hope Bottas and Carlito and Mercedes and Ferrari could have. But it did not work that way. And it was nice, very nice, I must say, to see a Ferrari driver on the podium. And like I said, Carlos Sainz is looking more and more at home. Now tell me honestly, as exciting as the race was, were you able to stay glued to the TV for the 2 hours?
No, impossible, impossible, impossible. Because I have so many things happening at the Palatial Studios. There's just so much that I glance over here, I glance over there. And don't forget, we had some exciting NASCAR racing.
Oh, they were in the rain at COTA.
The first full-blown rain soak with rain tires. These guys, it was hilarious.
Yeah, I saw some of the action. It was hilarious. And those cars look so beautiful at COTA, I must say.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Of course, it poured so much, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, I was going to go to that race, but normally, you know, you park your car in these ranches they have over there, and there was so much mud, and I had to leave after the race. I said, I cannot afford to have my car stuck here, rental car. So I skipped the race, and one thing I will never forget, just maybe a mile or down the road, it's like a small Texas country road. I said, I'll grab a bite here someplace, and there was a restaurant, Mexican restaurant, and what was the nearest street? Maldonado, believe it or not. So there is, the spirit of Pastor Maldonado is hovering around Circuit of the Americas, so watch out.
I understand.
Yes, sir. Did you think Carlos Sainz Jr. had any chance for a sniff of a victory?
A little bit. If you know, I mean, Max could have crashed. Everybody can make a mistake, but I thought Carlos Sainz Jr. is doing a fantastic job for Ferrari. I'm telling you, they have a strong driver lineup. If they could sort some of their issues, this is a good team.
Yeah, he looked very competitive, but not threatening, and hopefully the Prancing Horse will show more power in the races to come. Apparently, they will do good at street courses because they just don't have the front line speed of a couple of other cars. And then, you know, FIA told them, you know, can't be burning extra fuel to get more power. And that's really hurting them. And as Max said at the press conference in COTA a few years ago, that's what happens when you cheat. But every race fan, I think, has some soft corner for Ferrari. Such a long history and pedigree in the sport. So we definitely want to see them come up to be very competitive, and that'll be good. Now let's hear what some of these people had to say. Max Verstappen, after the race, of course. He said, and I quote, "It's so special around here to win. It's my first time on the podium here. Amazing race. It's a lot of laps. You really have to keep your focus. but it's really cool. I'm very proud, but I'm also thinking ahead. It is a very long season, end of quote. You know, it's interesting. It takes about 2 hours to complete this race, but in terms of race distance covered, it is the shortest race on the calendar. Now, numero dos, Carlos Sainz Jr. said, and I quote, "It's a good result. If you would have told me before coming to Monaco I would finish second, I definitely would take it. I think Ferrari need to be proud about the car and the step we've made. I felt good with the car today, and I felt the team deserved a podium." End of quote. And Lando Norris is always not as exciting as Daniel Ricciardo after any good result, but, you know, he was showing his emotions. He said, and I quote, "I don't know what to say. I didn't think I'd be here today. It's always been a dream to be on the podium here. It's extra special. It was a bit of luck. And I want to say good driving and a good car all weekend. This one is for them." End of quote. And you know what I do like? They mentioned that somebody said it's the second youngest podium. These three people, somebody said second, then I heard the youngest. So let's just put it this way. It's one of the youngest podiums in the history of Formula One racing. But what I did like, you know, the banter between these drivers during the post-race conference, joking and saying things and stuff like that. So there's a lot of chit-chat between the drivers, and it's all in good fun, and everybody has a laugh about it. I mean, this is not like the days of Senna and Prost in a press conference, each one hating every word the other is saying, or like Mika and Schumacher. One is saying very little, the other is trying very hard to say something. So that's good to see. It's the new age, the computer game generation is taking over. Have you noticed that, Mr. Rogers, in these press conferences?
Yes, I prefer bitter meanness.
You're such a nice, kind guy, and you prefer bitterness?
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, man. Things are changing, I guess.
They are a-changing.
Yeah, Sergio Perez, he did a pretty decent job. Started ninth and finished fourth. Man, Lewis was really upset about him jumping in. What say you?
I loved it. Poor Lewis crying. He cried a lot, you know, instead of taking it on the chin and being more Alonso-ish.
Being Alonso-ish?
Yeah, you know, Alonso didn't complain in the race. He was having a good time, relaxing.
Oh, you mean Lewis should have gone to Toto Wolff after the race and tell him, agree to my $80 million, or I'm going to tell the secrets to, text the secrets to somebody else? Interesting, Mr. Rogers. See, some of us are old people. We remember a few things. That's not a whole lot. Now, Sebastian Vettel, you know, I don't want to see anybody go down in flames. And when somebody has won a lot of championship and races, and the season he had, I think, in 2013, which when he won his last championship, I believe. And I do want to see this guy go out in dignity. So I'm happy to see him finish fifth. And Pierre Gasly was sixth, which is good. And Pierre Gasly was drowning in the rapture of love everybody was showing for Yuki Tsunoda after the opening round. But I think Pierre Gasly is making a good case for himself. He will be a good number two at McLaren someday, McLaren or some other team. Apparently, Alpine is not interested in him. They are more interested in Esteban Ocon, so good for them. But, you know, Alpine, the way things are going, they may have another opening at the end of this season, but that's another story. Okay, now, Lewis's only consolation from a not-so-usual weekend was extra point for the fastest lap. He is now 4 points behind Max in the championship. Once upon a time, LCH was able to overhaul a 43-point deficit to his teammate, but he cannot afford that luxury against the might that is Max. With Max in an F1 car with an F1 engine, Lewis will have to look over his shoulder every lap, every corner of every race. Max can give him, has everything it has to give him, taste of his own medicine. A heavy dose of the syrup called Formula 2007 vaccine that Lewis administered to his own teammate. We are not taking any names here, as Sunday was the birthday for Rubinho and the host of F1 Weekly. Happy birthday, Mr. President. How does it feel to be in your 40s now?
It's a wonderful feeling. I feel mature and capable of making good decisions.
Oh, that, I'm so happy to hear that. So your prediction for the 2021 season world champion is Fernando Alonso?
Correct.
Now that you are sober and mature? That's very good, Mr. Rogers. Okay, sir, tell me what you think about the next race, which is also on a street circuit, Baku. I think thanks to its long straight, LCH and Mercedes will snap back in style, but Max will be a serious thorn on the side of Mercedes car number 44 all season long, and that's what we want as fans of major racing. Do you think the Max winning ways will continue in Baku?
No, I think Mercedes, you know, they recover very quickly from fumbling the ball. And I think they're going to have a good set of downs. They're going to go long, and it's going to be impressive.
And Bottas has always done well, so, you know, we may have a Mercedes one too. That'll be something. Man, you know, the way the championship is going now, especially with Lewis not leading the championship, I think this is the first time in the hybrid era that Mercedes is not leading both the championships. Drivers and constructors, it's a given that if Bottas is leading the race, James Vowles will come on the radio and say, Lewis is faster than you. What say you?
Lewis is faster than you.
Yeah, so and it will not go down very well with Bottas, but you know, hey, what do you expect? You know, speaking of Bottas, he's not even third in the championship now. It's Lando Norris in the McLaren is third ahead of a driver driving for Mercedes. I mean, isn't that sad?
It's very sad.
Yes, this is not good. Lance Stroll got both the Aston Martins and the point by finishing 8th. Esteban Ocon was 9th. Like at McLaren, the number 2 at Alpine continues to outperform numero uno. The team, like I said, is interested in extending his contract, even though he remains part of Toto's Mercedes Wolfpack. He is under contract to Mercedes and farmed out to Alpine right now. Now we come to Giovinazzi. Scored a point for Sauber, Alfa Romeo, leaving only 2 teams in Misery Loves Company Club and Pointless, Haas and Williams. And sir, speaking of Williams, on a very high note, because this is a very big number, Williams, this was their 750th Grand Prix for Team Willy, so hip hip hooray for them. Any thoughts on Team Williams and Giovinazzi or anything else, sir?
No, I mean, I'm happy for Williams, but I mean, it's just longevity. They've been around for a long time. So, yeah, I mean, 750.
Nobody has every winning season, but then I'm happy they have kept his name, and hopefully sooner or later they will win a race. Maybe they need to bring back Maldonado. I don't know. Okay, sir, now a few words about Daniel Ricciardo. 12th, he is one of the great mysteries of the 21 season. Here is a guy who rattled the cage of Sebastian Vettel at Red Bull, then was very competitive against the might of Max Verstappen, and became the only teammate that Nico Hülkenberg could not dominate. And he turned the tide at Renault pretty quickly, which was very impressive. In a McLaren powered by Mercedes, I was expecting Smiling Assassin to execute slaughter on every track, especially against his own teammate, but the edge is no longer there, or at least for the time being. Now, if he was at McLaren as teammate to Senna, one can understand he has met his match. But with all due respect to Lando Norris, who is still a young whippersnapper in Formula One, one has to admit Danny Rick's performance so far has been, to borrow a phrase from Mr. Rogers, stinko. Let's hope he can find the brake pedal slash whatever the missing link or button is on his McLaren, and we can see him fighting for podium before the summer break. Well, I was hoping and predicting that he will get a win this year. I think the way this is going, we'll be lucky if we see him on the podium, unless there is a major turnaround. But we shall see. Now we come to another Misery Loves Company enrollee, Yuki Tsunoda. After a great debut and scoring point in Bahrain, his bullet train seemed to have derailed. Being a potty mouth, especially with Honda leaving at the end of the season, it's not going to help his case unless he gets his career back on track. It will be a shame if he is in Formula One just for one season, because he does have the talent and it's just a matter of time how to blend in the fast lane of Formula One. Much bigger talent were unable to learn how to survive in the piranha pool. And as they say in a song, look before you leap, still waters run deep. You know what I'm saying? This is from Miss Lynn Anderson. I beg your pardon.
I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime.
So what say you, sir, for the race overall? Any thoughts, any comments before I give my final 2 pesos?
I thought it was a great race. I enjoyed Monaco. I like Monaco. It's fun, especially when Mercedes makes a huge blunder, and there was a lot of them, and I loved every minute of it. And I was very happy for Max. Red Bull is now leading. We can't ask for more.
That is very true. And a lot of people on the web, you know, when I'm reading on different websites, all they are saying that Monaco is only good for one type of race, shifter go-karts. And from a pure racing point of view, that may be true, but it's just a lot of history. And I have to be honest, man, with all this history and glitz and glamour, I did not miss this race last year, to be honest with you, because it's such a procession. But I think it should stay on the calendar just because it's Monaco, it's Monte Carlo, part of Formula One fabric, you know. So I don't have a problem from that. But they should reduce the time, should be over in like 90 minutes. I think that will be a better way. But sometimes, you know, if we have two drivers who are equally competitive, it can be good. Or, you know, rain can mix up things in Monaco as in any other place. So here we come with the final analysis on the Monaco Grand Prix, which is part and parcel of Formula One history, as we just said. Graham Hill and Ayrton Senna made quite a name for themselves from this race. We had tunnel vision and Rascal's moments with Schumacher. The tight confines of the street circuit is very different than Monza and Spa. Passing is very difficult, if not impossible. But not every driver finds a cucumber or Bernoulli in the streets of Monte Carlo. So long may live the Monaco Grand Prix. There you have it, Mr. Rogers. Lewis Hamilton not leading the championship. Mercedes not leading the championship. Wow. Will this stay? Max was asked, you know, how does he feel about this? He said he will feel good about this if this is the result after Abu Dhabi. What are the chances, sir? Chances are awfully good or awfully not good for Max to become world champion?
Awfully not good for Max for a couple more years. But on that note, let's take a quick break and we'll be back with Motorsports Mondial after these brief messages.
Hi, I'm Guangzhou from China, and you are listening to F1 Weekly.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the king, the guru himself, Nasser Hamid.
Thank you, sir. And we will start with Formula 2 action from Monte Carlo. And you should be excited. Your homeboy, 17-year-old Theo Pourchaire, took pole for the feature race. And let me just tell you, last year, out of nowhere, I'm watching a race, Formula 3 race, and they're saying he's on his way to becoming a 16-year-old winner. And this kid has just exploded on the scene pretty much like Yuki Tsunoda. Okay, so they have 3 races, 2 sprint races first, and then the feature race. So winner on Friday from China, Guan Yu Zhu. Okay. Race 2 also on Saturday. Tremendous performance from Kiwi Red Bull driver Liam Lawson. Okay, he won the opening race of the season also. It was a wet dry race and he put in a performance a la JB. Liam won the season opener, like I said, I believe that was in Bahrain. And if he can become rookie champion, then Dr. Marco will give Pierre Gasly wings to fly away from AlphaTauri. Not saying it should happen that way, but that's how they operate. But not so fast, said the stewards. Lawson was stripped of his win for, this is interesting how technical these things are, for incorrect use of throttle map at the start. And this was the stewards' technical mumbo jumbo, and I quote. a defined throttle pedal progressivity map program in position 1 of the steering wheel throttle map rotary knob must be used during all formation lap starts and race starts until the car speed reaches 50 km per hour. Car 07 used a different throttle map at the race start. End of quote. Oh boy. Feature race also took place on Saturday with a 17-year-old Theo Purcher. The way they do it now is when you do the pole position, you don't start from pole in the first or the second sprint races, but in the main feature race. And this kid, I watched this race, he led from lights to fly to become the youngest F2 winner, record previously held by Lando Norris. So the future is bright for this French driver. Now in the championship, Guan Yu Zhu, 68 points. Second, 53 points, is Aussie mate Oscar Piastri. Purcher is third on 47 points. Very, very impressive for a rookie. Zhu is in his third season of Formula 2, so he's no longer hot and spicy Mongolian beef. And I think if he's beaten to the title by Piastri or Purcher, both rookies, his F1 dreams will be chop-chop. And this Chinese driver, we interviewed him a few years ago. He is very competitive. He is very good. He used to be in the Ferrari Driver Academy. Now he's part of the Renault program. So let's see how things go for him. And like everybody else, we wish him all the best. Other drivers on slippery slope are Robert Schwartzman and Marcus Armstrong. And here is a perfect example, Clark. About 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago, Marcus Armstrong, based on his performance, I thought, man, this is the next big deal from New Zealand. And Robert Schwartzman was also very, very competitive. But now they're losing steam in Formula 2. But, you know, let's see if they can do a turnaround. Due to COVID and cost containment issues, both Formula 2 and Formula 3 are now running 3 races per weekend on different weekends. Alexander Rossi was and remains only American driver to win in modern Formula 2, previously known as our favorite Hapidos. Scott Speed raced in the inaugural season of GP2 back in 2005, which was won by Nico Rosberg. So now we're going to move on to other information, sir. Indy 500 qualifying. Scott Dixon from New Zealand will start the greatest spectacle in racing from pole position, his fourth pole position at the Brickyard. Colton Herta from SoCal and Dutch boy Rinus Wicke will share the front row with him. So just like Formula 1, IndyCar, we have a young blood revolution going, so that's very good. Okay, and staying on IndyCar news, NTT, Nippon Telephone and Telegraph, I think it's Nippon Telegraph and Telephone, they have extended their sponsorship of IndyCar series, so which is good. And as far as ex-Grand Prix F1 alumni includes in this year's Indy 500, they are Alexander Rossi, Sébastien Bourdais, Sato San, Pietro Fittipaldi, Marcus Ericsson, and the full Monty looking for his third win. WRC Portugal, 3 Toyotas in top 4. Winner was Elfyn Evans from UK ahead of Danny Sordo in a Hyundai. Your homeboy Sébastien Ogier was third. Ogier leads the championship by 2 points over Evans. And next round is in Sardinia, first week of June. Okay, sir, now we're going to look at some famous maiden wins in Monaco, and we have some time issues, so I'll try to fit in as many as I can. Fangio, his first victory in Grand Prix racing came in 1950 Monaco Grand Prix, which was race number 2 in the glorious history of Formula 1 Championship, and Fangio was driving an Alfa Romeo. Harry Schell was the only American in the race, but he was out on the opening lap after some argy-bargy. Jack Brabham, the Aussie legend, took his first victory in Monte Carlo in 1959 and followed that by taking first of his 3 championships by the end of the season for Coupa. Maurice Trintignant, this French driver from Nîmes, won 2 Formula 1 races in his career, both in Monte Carlo. His maiden victory came in 1955, driving for Ferrari. This race is mostly remembered for Ascari going into harbor. Now, not sure how many of our listeners are interested in the apparel industry and history, but apparently the word denim and jeans come from this place. and this place being Nîmes, that's where Maurice Trintignant came from. The word de Nîmes, and Mr. Rogers, you can correct me, it means from Nîmes. Is that correct?
That is correct. I think this is fairly common knowledge. Everybody knows that denim is from Nîmes. Bravo.
Yes, and that's because once upon a time, this town was the epicenter of 501. And I learned this from watching Rick Steves. You know, he does these tours all over the world.
He's my buddy.
Yeah, that's what I like. His program is good for this kind of stuff. And one of the drivers who did not qualify for this race, Mr. Rogers, was Lance Macklin. And we are talking about the 55 Monaco Grand Prix. Macklin was the chap whose car was hit by Pierre Levet's Mercedes, triggering the 1955 disaster at Le Mans. And I understand your dad was at that race, correct?
Correct.
Wow, talk about history. Jean-Pierre Beltoise, one-hit wonder from the 1972 Monaco Grand Prix. His first in a BRM was the last for him and also last win for the famous British team from Lincolnshire. Patrick Depailler, 1978. I remember this race very well, and it was a long time coming because Patrick kept coming second again and again for many races. He was driving a Tyrrell that day. Carlos Reutemann started from pole position in his beautiful Ferrari 312T3. And speaking of Reutemann, happy to report he has been released from the hospital and is now recovering at home, and we wish him well. 1982, probably one of the most famous and dramatic finishes in Monte Carlo. Pironi, De Cesaris, and even Derek Daly in a Williams had a chance to win the race in the closing laps. Patrese spun on the final lap, but then got going, only to be surprised he had taken his first Grand Prix win in the beautiful blue and white Brabham. Olivier Panis, 1996, with team members yelling on the radio in English, French, and Japanese to slow down or you will run out of fuel, the Ligier driver kept going to score a memorable victory to become another one-hit wonder in Formula One history. And as Mr. William Shatner said, better to be a one-hit wonder than no-hit wonder. 2004, finally, the Trulli train arrived at the winning platform with Renault Power, a rare occasion where he outperformed in quali and race. The train's numero uno engineer, El Machismo de Viva España. Okay, Mr. Rogers, now we come to points to ponder, and we shall go back to Formula One. This was the first non-front row start for LCH this season and his worst qualifying performance since Germany 2018. Race number 124 in the exciting life and times for Max Verstappen. Pole man and local garçon Leclerc has never finished any F1 race on home soil, so he needs better luck on home ground. Now, this was interesting and scary. Sergio Perez has confirmed that one of his family security guards is in good condition after being shot in a failed robbery attempt in Mexico. The bodyguard was injured during the incident, which occurred in the Ladrón de Guevara neighborhood in the municipality of Perez's hometown, Guadalajara, on Saturday. The only Monegas to win the Monaco Grand Prix well before the F1 Championship, Mr. Louis Chiron, for whom the Bugatti Chiron is named after, and for many years he used to wave the flag at the Monaco Grand Prix. And sir, we talked about Max Mosley. We will talk more about his life and contribution to motor racing next week, and he of course passed away from cancer. Cancer, unfortunately, also took the life of Brazilian driver Andre Ribeiro. He gave Honda engine their first IndyCar win, and Honda's IndyCar program was also started using a GP2 engine, and they started with Bobby Rahal because he owns, you know, Honda dealerships and all that, and boy, was he frustrated how it was going. But once they got going, it was the engine to have, and even Roger Penske won a lot of races with Honda engine. And Andre also won the first IndyCar race that took place in Brazil, and he was only 55 years. So our condolences to the families of Mr. Mosley and Mr. Ribeiro. And with that, sir, we come to famous last words today. You can always count on Dr. Marco to give us a doozy. And here he is talking about his new experiment as teammate to Max with a very nice sling and arrow. He said, and I quote, "Perez is constantly improving. He doesn't try to reinvent the car like Gasly did. Instead, he looks at Max, analyzes his laps, and recognizes where he needs to improve." End of quote. So there you have it, Mr. Rogers, and there you go.
Thank you, Nasser. Another outstanding job. I, for one, enjoyed Monaco wonderfully, and I, of course, had a terrific birthday. I want to thank everyone for their birthday wishes. We'll talk to you next week, so we'll see you at the hot dog stand.
Sir, before you go, I do want to ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Your birthday cake, did it have a Alonso's Renault or Alonso's McLaren?
It had an Alonso Renault.
Very good. Very good. Sir, congratulations on making it to 4-0. If all goes well, I shall see you soon at the Flames for some nice breakfast, omelette, and jalapeno.
Thank you, Nasser, and good night.
Bye-bye.